This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. No better place to get ready for the Sacramento Kings season opener tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and right here on ESPN 1320. James and I have got you for the next hour. D'Lo and Casey got you for the next four. And then, if you're looking to do something to kill some time before the game, we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. Vikings at Rams right here on ESPN 1320.
Ooh.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Vikings at Rams. Let's see.
And the Vikings bounce back.
Any revenge games? I was trying to think of a... I think Kevin O'Connell's a Sean McVay guy?
Oh.
Maybe? I don't know. I don't care enough to look it up. That game's happening tonight, though. It is very secondary to what's happening at Golden One Center, though, and that's what we're talking about today. Answering some of the biggest questions facing the Kings. One of the questions for me is, Kevin Huerter is the starting two guard. Is that just the case all year? Or is this going to be a evolving thing where Herter's going to get 10 games and we'll see how it goes? And then Keon gets plugged in, and we'll see how that goes. We talked yesterday, maybe at some point they tried DeMar at the two, and maybe Trey Lyles starts, depending on how their rotations and matchups are shaking out. I'm fascinated by how Mike Brown handles the shooting guard position.
I am too, and one of the reasons why I'm fascinated is because we went into this season thinking that there's a good chance that Keon Ellis was going to start at the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Malik Monk would be the backup.
Right.
Right. Now, Malik Monk is still the backup.
Yeah.
But he might be the backup one and the backup two. I don't know. Like, I don't want to put a label on what exactly Malik Monk is. And that Kevin Huerter would play the three. You remember we had the whole, you know, medical update where he was listed as Kings forward, Kevin Huerter. Right?
You caught that quick.
Yeah. So, again, I think it is what it is. Like, maybe someone just made a mistake when they're writing things out. But I think it now, like, it creates this weird little bubble here where we have no idea exactly how it's all going to play out. Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin Huerter could come out and be Kevin Huerter from 2 years ago.
Yeah, in which case it's a non-conversation.
Then he's going to start 82 games if he's healthy.
Yep.
And there's also a possibility that he comes out a little bit slow, but the offense still works.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not hitting his shots, but you're winning games. And you're still going to let it ride because you want to see if you can get him back to that player. There's also a possibility that their defense is so incredibly horrible coming out of the chute that they have to make a move, that they have no choice but
yes.
to, to insert Keon Ellis into the starting lineup. There's also a possibility that they just keep getting beat up by teams in the post because they don't have enough like size. So it's possible that we could see Trey Lyles go into the starting lineup, Keegan Murray move over to the three, and DeMar DeRozan move to the two.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing that I've learned very clearly from Mike Brown over the last couple of weeks and conversations that I've had around this team as well is that there are four guys that are starting the entire season if they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's De'Aaron Fox, it's Keegan Murray, it's Domantas Sabonis, and it's DeMar DeRozan.
Yep.
That fifth spot can fluctuate all season long. It can also, like, it doesn't have to fluctuate. It just really does depend on how players are performing, how the team is performing. If they get in a rut here to start the season, changes could come. If they don't, or if they're winning and a player is still trying to build up to speed, that's okay as long as they're winning.
My hope is that this is a good problem for the Kings.
Yeah.
And not a problem where they're cycling through these options because they're just searching for answers.
Yeah, that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that this could be an advantage, right? Like having too many good players is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Keon starting some games and Herter starting some games, yeah, they're throwing Trey Lyles in there because they just can't seem to figure out the who the fifth starter should be if nobody's just like taking that spot.
Yeah,
like now it's a problem. But right now, I think it's a good problem to have. Well, you have options.
Even opening night, I mean, I could very well see, I don't know how much this would happen because Trey hasn't been there at all, but I could see a situation where Keegan Murray is doing a great job on Anthony Edwards, and so you need to leave him there.
Sure.
But Julius Randle's busting you up, you know, playing power forward. And so you bring Trey Lyles in, and I at that situation, I don't know who goes to the bench, but in that situation, you could see where, you know, somebody's going to lose minutes. And it's also why I don't know how much Jordan McLaughlin will play this season. I don't know how much Alex Len will play this season. There will be certain nights where both of them play a bunch. And then there will also be like a week where one of them doesn't play or both of them don't play. And that's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of how this team is designed right now.
It's one of the things that I think Mike Brown is really good at is messing with rotations. And he knows that you have 82 games. You have to win enough games to go to the playoffs, but your 82 games are about figuring out, hey, when this rotation in the playoffs goes down to 7-8 players, who are the best 7 or 8 players by April, can you have no doubt that it's these 8 guys? And that's going to be to me of we're talking big questions. That's the number one question for the Kings and every team.
Yeah.
Right. Like who are your best 8 guys by April?
Yeah, exactly. And we don't even know, like, how does Doug McDermott fit into this whole thing? We don't. Like, if you need instant offense, like, sure. Or how an Isaac Jones fits into this situation. He's a player that you might need this year that might be able to play alongside Domantas Sabonis, that might be able to hit the corner three and play really good defense and hit the crash zone, and he might be effective.
Love the crash zone.
Yeah. Well, you're going to see a lot of it.
Can't wait.
Everybody watch the crash zone.
I need a t-shirt in the Kings font that just says Crash Zone. I'd wear that so fast.
Jim, get on that.
Hey, Jim, where are we at? Crash Zone t-shirts. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the phone number. Mitch in New Jersey, your Kings are back, baby.
What's happening, guys?
What's going on, Mitch?
Yeah, seems a little small, but I don't mind seeing Herdy's at 6'7". You got enough scores. We have undersized center who can score, though. I just worry about size. And we did trade Jalen McDaniels. I don't know why. I thought that was a decent trade.
He's not very good.
Size. He wasn't that very good, huh?
Yeah.
That's always the case. But the Western Conference is looking so good. With the Eastern, I think it's just Knicks and Boston, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there.
You
weren't impressed by Orlando last night, Mitch?
I don't have. See, I just get the New York and Philadelphia.
Nah, that's all good.
So, but what I wanted to say though, right now Sam Darnold's having a better year than Purdy. What's up with that, Kyle?
Yeah, he sure is. Kevin O'Connell's heck of a coach. Thanks so much, Mitch. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Yeah. Sam Darnold, heck of a season. Sam Darnold playing football on this very radio station tonight. 4:30 p.m. Thursday Night Football. Sam Darnold and the Vikings taking on Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
He threw some shade there, the right at the end. Just like shade.
Yeah, he's right, dude.
Good for you.
Sam Darnold's been awesome.
Yeah.
Can I keep it a stack on Doug McDermott just real quick? Because his name came up in the chat, Alice, and then you brought him up.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, you don't need Doug McDermott to solve problems. Mm-hmm. He's a nice piece to have, but it's not. If at some point in the season, it's like, we need Doug. You got a problem.
I think the
McDermott,
good thing,
not Christie. We love Doug Christie.
Yeah. I think the deal with McDermott is if you need Doug McDermott because you have injury problems, he's a nice luxury to have. If you need him because your team just isn't successful and you need something different, mm-hmm. like look at Doug McDermott as what the Kings hoped Sasha Vezenkov would have been last year.
Yeah.
And just a better version, like a more seasoned, faster, experienced version.
To me, the best version of the Kings involves Doug McDermott on a night where, hey, you know what? A little bit of foul trouble. I need Doug McDermott for 8 minutes. Man, can't hit, we're 3 for 19 from three. Doug, can you go get us a shot?
Yeah.
That's where I don't think it's a regular rotation spot. I don't think it's a, oh, hey, in case the Kevin Herter thing isn't working out, we've got Doug. I just don't. My expectation for the Kings is really high. Mm-hmm. And while Doug McDermott is a bucket, I don't think that he's a rotation player on a 50-plus win team.
No, he's a break-in-case-of-emergency player.
Yes. That's a perfect way to put it.
For this team.
Yeah.
And if you have to go there, like if he plays a couple of minutes a night early in the season, that's fine. But realistically, if he's a main rotation player, that probably means something went wrong, or it means that you don't have faith in a guy like Keon Ellis as much as fans might have faith, or sure. people on the outside talking about Keon Ellis might have faith.
Yeah, I'm really, that's it. The Keon thing's kind of weird to me. Again, like you said, maybe we were just all off, and me in particular, I've been a big Keon Ellis guy, and maybe I've just been wrong. Maybe he's just a kind of back end rotation dude.
I don't feel that way with him. I feel like we also have to keep in mind that as a rookie undrafted two way player, he played 16 games. And he averaged 4.4 minutes per game. Mm-hmm. So what did he play? 60 minutes the entire season. So he played 71 minutes the entire season, his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think when we're looking at like Keon in year two, he played 21 games last season. And if you look at his 17.2 minutes per game, he played in 57, but he started 21. That's what I meant to say. But the 21 games that he started is where the bulk of his minutes came.
Yeah.
Like there's just not a lot of experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, you finished the season and you were okay to finish the season. I was wrong. They didn't finish like 4-7. They finished like 5-6 or something to finish mm-hmm. the season. But like you don't know what you have still 100%. And if you're a team that has 50 plus win, like dreams,
aspirations.
Yeah. Then you don't know if he's going to fit or not. And like, I still think he should be in the rotation.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess I was just wrong. Oh, Sass in the chatty house said, mark my words, Doug will be better than James Ham's favorite player, Chris Duarte. I'll fall on that one. I was a big Chris Duarte guy.
Well, I mean,
that's on me.
Chris Duarte. I thought
it was going to work out. It did not.
Yeah. No, that didn't work out at all.
I saw the vision.
Yeah.
That's I anchored to my pre-draft take on the player.
He was really good his rookie season.
Yeah, and he had a nice career at Oregon. Looked like a really quick translate 3-and-D player, and just nope,
mm-mm.
didn't pan out.
Yeah,
swing and a miss. You know, not all the takes are going to be good ones. Anyways, I wanted to put a bow on the two guard thing.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Herter's going to start all the games. Every game he's healthy.
Yeah.
The fact that they're immediately injecting him back into the starting lineup like this lets me think that Keon is not ideally for them part of the picture. As a starter, I mean.
I don't know that that's 100% the case. I just think that they're, for today, they have this idea that you don't lose your starting job because you got injured. And they also understand how good the team was 2 years ago with him as a major piece to that. And they know the gravitational pull that he brings to the floor. We'll have to wait and see how. It's not going to be easy because there are going to be nights like going into tonight's game. I want Keon Ellis on Anthony Edwards for at least like 18 minutes of the game.
Sure. No doubt. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kings, Timberwolves tonight. Timberwolves come in with an 0-1 record. The Kings haven't played yet. Stinks for the Timberwolves that they had to open with two games on the road.
Yeah, really bizarre.
Really
for a
awesome
team that
year
was...
and just hey, here's we're gonna get rid of Karl Anthony Towns. Here's Julius Randle, and then also go on the road. Goodbye.
Yeah, you guys were so much fun last year. We're super excited to hand your team over to some penny-pinching guys that includes A-Rod. We're going to send you on the road, and your franchise player is now a Nick.
All right.
Sure, all right. Good luck with that.
So, this is a game where I think the Kings can I don't want to say easily. This is a winnable game for the Kings. This is not this insurmountable juggernaut in Minnesota that is going to come in here and show that they are a contender in the West and the Kings are not. I don't foresee that. Specifically because I don't, we talked about this a little bit earlier, I don't love the Julius Randle fit. And I think it's going to take them a while to figure that out. But this is also a Minnesota team coming off a loss on the road. Maybe a little bit angry. So let's get into our keys to victory. James, we'll do three keys each. Key number one to a Sacramento Kings victory for you, James Hamm of the Kings Beat. And of the Insiders.
Let it flow. And that what I mean by that is like I want to see the offensive flow. You know, they have their flow set, but I want to see this thing actually look like a functioning offensive team. And the defense stuff will take care of itself. They will get better defensively throughout the year, but the way that this team is going to win games early in the season, in my opinion, is by the ball hopping, 30 assists per night, not a lot of turnovers, a lot of wide open looks for players, just everyone eats, everyone's having a good time, score 120 a night, maybe more, and that's how I think that this season will take off from the beginning.
Yeah, man, and playing with that, with that pace, too. I think that's going to be... There were so many times it felt offensively like they were laboring a little bit last year. Like they were trying really hard to do the exact right thing. And I know they added all sorts of counters to what they were doing. And I just don't... I don't know that it ever took off. And eventually you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to run things in the half court. And you're going to have to be able to execute, you know, X, Y, and Z plays and all that. But I'm with you, man. And for the first few games, while you're especially getting DeMar DeRozan fully integrated and stuff, getting Kevin Huerter integrated back in, getting Trey Lyles integrated back in, just go hoop and let the ball move.
Yeah.
I love that. Key number one for me, play like it counts. This game matters now.
It does.
You're 0-0. The preseason obviously no longer matters. I don't want to, if there's no reason that they should come out flat or have a general malaise at any point tonight. I need 48 minutes. That crowd's going to be nuts. This game counts. It's a game against a Western Conference contender. This is a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year. The star power is there. It's Anthony Edwards. Julius Randle, I think, has a little bit of star power. It's a defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert. There's a lot of heat on this game, and I would like to see the Kings treated as such.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's your freaking home opener.
It's silly, but 82-0 is on the table, right?
Sure.
And I know that that's, but like hope springs eternal for every team.
Yeah.
And if you walk into this game and you don't take it serious and you don't look like you have a lot of pop, I think that this thing can get ugly. And I don't want to see that. Like last season, there was ugly moments in that season. And again, you have reasons why you could get off to a slow start. But at the end of the day, you also have so much talent on this team. This is the most talented team this franchise has had since the early 2000s.
Yeah, no
without
doubt.
Without any question, the most talented team they've had. So go out there and let your talent shine through.
Yeah, you have to. You have to come out fast. Number two.
Domas Domanus. Domantas Sabonis has always done a really good job against Rudy Gobert. Like, they have a really good battle. And Gobert usually puts up big numbers, too. Like, this, it's just kind of the way it's been. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not... You know, there are players that Sabonis just crushes, and they do nothing, and he does a whole bunch. And that mm-hmm. happens probably 60 nights a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Gobert is a player that holds his own against Sabonis, that, you know, usually has a double-double against Sabonis. So I would like to see him drag Gobert away from the basket, show off the mid-range, shoot a couple of threes, get the offense flowing, force Gobert to the bench, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Force him to the bench, because I think that's the player that Sabonis is, that he's good enough that Gobert should not, despite the Defensive Player of the Year honors, should not be a major impediment for him to have a great night.
Yeah, man. Being a threat in the mid-range opens up so much for Domas.
Mm-hmm.
And against Rudy Gobert specifically, it opens up a lot for their offense in general. I'm right there with you. That's going to be something all year. That's a key to the season for me. I need not only, like, Domas is going to go dominate from a 19 and 14 and 8 standpoint. Put that in pen, right?
Yep.
But can you evolve as an offensive player, specifically as a scorer, to just alter the way defenses are defending you a little bit? And I think that starts tonight against the reigning defensive player of the year. Four-time defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert?
Is it four-time?
Three-time? Four-time? It's a lot. Good defender. Good player, Rudy Gobert. Number two for me, I need anyone but Anthony Edwards to beat you. Anthony Edwards is going to take 25-plus shots. He's going to go and try and get his. If Anthony Edwards is scoring 40-plus, you're in a bad spot. If you're holding Anthony Edwards to an inefficient 25 shots, and he's going, he scored 25, but he needed 25 to get him,
mm-hmm.
I think you're in much, much better shape, because then you're getting guys like Jalen McDaniels just standing around, and you're getting guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dante DiVincenzo just kind of standing around. So I would like to see them make anyone but Anthony Edwards beat you, to the point that I suggested start DeMar DeRozan on Rudy Gobert offensively. Let the Timberwolves funnel their offense through Rudy. Go for it. As long as it's not Ant.
Yeah, I'm with you. Anthony Edwards is one of the most gifted one-on-one scorers in the league.
Yep.
And he's a force, and he's busted up the Kings quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
He's not easy to defend. And, like, again, if the Kings start the game with Keegan Murray on him, and Keegan Murray picks up a quick two or three fouls, like, it's going to get ugly. This thing can get out of control. But I have faith that they have a game plan for him, especially Keon Ellis, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be able to throw different looks at him this year.
Yeah, don't need to stop him. Just make him inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Make them make someone else beat you.
Yes.
Number three for you.
Number three for me is don't leave their shooters.
Well.
yeah, it's a problem that the Kings have had. You know, during the preseason, they left wide open shooters the whole time. They've got a new offensive, new defensive principles that they're working with a little bit, with Luke Laux taking over as a defensive coordinator on this team. The rotations need to be better than what they were during the preseason. But again, this is Minnesota shot 38.7% from three last year. They were third in the league in 3-point percentage. And then they went out and added Dante DiVincenzo, who does not care at all and will launch and would love nothing more than to light up the Sacramento Kings after what happened with him as a free agent here in Sacramento.
Yep. Yeah, and Dante's been a good shooter the last 2 years. I think 38% is last year in Golden State and 40% last year with the Knicks.
On, like, a huge amount of attempts.
I know I said that anyone but Ant's got to beat you, but at the same time,
don't let them.
You can't let them make 25 threes.
No.
Man, tough. The NBA is hard, guys. Number three for me, win the bench minutes. And you got a chance to win the bench minutes a lot of nights, especially if you're going to have Trey Lyles and you're going to have Keon Ellis coming off the bench, Malik Monk obviously coming off the bench. You got to go win those minutes. I don't know that I fully trust what Minnesota's got going on with Dante DiVincenzo, and, like, I got Joe Ingles playing a few minutes and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Naz Reid, sixth man of the year, obviously. Go show that Malik Monk is a sixth man of the year.
No, I'm with you 100%. And he should be extra motivated because Naz Reid is there.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves have a very, very good bench. I mean, they can put up numbers big time. And I think one of the things that we're missing here is that, yeah, the Kings were missing two rotational pieces the whole time. And now Kevin Herter's moving into the starting lineup. Like, look, Malik Monk has not been able to play with any of the bench players that he will play with up until this point. Like, Keon Ellis was a starter until, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And Alex, yeah, he's played with Alex Len, but Trey Lyles has been out the whole time. So how does he figure out how to move these pieces around and integrating himself and with whoever's left of the starting group that's there? I think sure. that will be the easy part because he's played with, you know, whether it's Domas or De'Aaron or Keegan, he's played with those guys a ton, but it's still going to be a little bit of a like work in progress getting that second unit because they have not been together at all during the preseason.
Yeah. Who's your player of the game prediction?
I think I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he's going to be extra motivated this entire season.
I'm going DeMar DeRozan. Call him DeStar DeRozan.
Oh, DeStar.
We saw the way he came out in the preseason opener. I think that's what we're going to see tonight. This is a player who has been in big spots. He understands the moment, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion. I think we're going to get a huge DeMar DeRozan game tonight, and I think we're going to get a Kings victory. Give me 117-113. Kings win.
Okay.
You heard it here first. I recommend they play the game just in case.
122-112, Kings.
Wow. A little blowout action.
Oh, 10 points, I don't think, is a blowout in today's NBA, but...
Cannot wait for Kings basketball tonight. We'll also have Thursday night football coming up. Should be a fun one. Vikings at Rams right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I can't wait to get to the arena. I'm so excited.
I love opening night.
I've been trying to plan out my day. I have some writing to do. You know, I have post-show stuff to do here. But I'll be done with that by like 2. That's too early to go down there. Did I just go downtown and hang out? I had to pick up my credential.
That's why I told you I'm going home. I'm trying something new to start this season. Yeah, I am. I'm going to go home for a little while and take a nap and rest up and get ready so I'm fresh for tomorrow.
Yeah, we just got time to kill.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I have
maybe we'll go get ramen.
There you go. I think the problem that I have on these days is that, you know, we do the show and then if I don't go home, I'm here until like 3 o'clock, 3:30, and then I drive down to the arena. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, I've worked a 16-hour day and I'm shot. So yeah. I need to not do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. I can't go home. So it's time to
come
kill.
Hang out with me.
I spend a lot of time. No, I don't want to go that far. I don't want to go further away from the arena. no, I don't know if I'm allowed. Shout out to Sauced. I spend a lot of time at Sauced pre-games.
I've done that too. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Go get a little salad, a little cornbread, hang out.
Oh, I like it. I like the salad.
It's a good time. It's a good time. If Sauced wants to sponsor the program,
there we go. We'll be there having hippie chick salads
yeah,
every single
day. Dude, I'm in there.
Yeah.
We had a ton of NBA action last night. We're just going to roll through some of these games with some of our takeaways. Just full disclosure, don't have takeaways on all of the games because did not get eyeballs on all of the games. The Warriors beat Portland 139-104. I thought it was a really nice performance for Golden State. My bigger takeaway was, I mean, they played 12 dudes, 15-plus minutes, and Steve Kerr basically said that's his solution to their current problem of not knowing who to play.
So yeah, that's
wild. He's going to play everybody. I don't know. I don't think that'll be the case throughout the year. My bigger takeaway from last night, though, because, I mean, you got Steph Curry almost had a triple-double in 24 minutes. Buddy Hield hit a bunch of shots. Portland stinks.
They are bad.
They are wretched. You know how usually in a blowout, it's a 28-point game, I think, to start the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Warriors starters didn't play the fourth quarter. You know how usually when the bench is empty, the losing bench sometimes like goes on a little bit of a run, and the 28-point lead, the game ends at, it was a 20-point lead.
Oh.
You know, they cut into it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They at least make it interesting.
Not the case here.
Oh, no.
It was 139-104 the final.
Mm.
And it just got worse as the game went on. I have deep, deep concerns about Portland this year. Portland is team number one on Cooper Flag Watch.
I agree 100%. Their entire design here is odd. The fact that they don't really know what to do with Tamani Kamara, who was their best player through preseason. And so their answer is to not start Scoot Henderson, who is your top, what, three pick last year?
Isn't he number two?
Number two, yeah. Number two, number three? Yeah, like, so to bring him off the bench. And, like, shout out to Scoot, who played, you know, well, he scored 22 points. He did not hit a three-point shot, which is going to continue to plague him throughout his career. But I just thought it was a very strange, like, they're confused with who they're going to be and who they should be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go out there and you use a top pick on Donovan Klingham again. And, you know, he's backing up DeAndre Ayton. And like,
I have no, it's just a collection of guys.
Odd collection of players.
And some of them, like Anthony Simons, nice little player.
Yeah.
Shaedon Sharpe, maybe a nice player someday.
Yeah.
But everyone else,
I know, and they've got three guys on their bench that that are injured. So Sharp, Matisse Stiebel's injured, and Robert Williams they're all injured. And you're looking at this team like, hey, I wouldn't mind going and trading with them and plucking a couple of players that they have, but their design is weird.
Yeah,
like where are they going?
Not an effective team.
Yeah.
The Indiana Pacers beat my Detroit Pistons 115-109. Here's the deal. Again, I didn't say I thought Detroit was going to be good. I thought they'd clear their 26.5 over-under.
Yeah.
They looked... I feel justified in that take after watching them. They're not going to be good, but last year watching the Pistons was like, get this off my television. This is so awful.
Oh.
But they at least have adults now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway Jr. out there. They got Tobias Harris out there. It's Jaden Ivey. Cade Cunningham is a very, very good player.
Jalen Dern. I really like Jalen Dern.
Beef Stew. Isaiah Stewart's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel fully justified with my Detroit take, even though they did smoke a lead against Indiana and lost 115-109.
Yeah, but still, I think that the design, like, they're at least, they have a path where I feel like the last, you know, couple of years, It's just like, hey, let's get as many young players as possible. And that's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched the Kings try to do that in the past, and it's just so hard to try to string together a whole bunch of draft picks and hope that they work out. Because you don't have enough time to develop each one of them. And because one guy is falling behind in development, but he still has to play alongside someone else, it hurts the development of other players when you have too many young players. And so getting some adults in the room is a good idea.
Brooklyn, Atlanta. Atlanta beats Brooklyn 120 to 116. This was a game I had no interest in, and I ended up getting dialed into because of a Cam Thomas prize picks. No, but the first thing, one of the first thing that happened when I turned the game on is Nick Claxton winding up and catching a flagrant two for whacking Dyson Daniels in the face as he's going up for a layup, knocks him out of the air. Full-blown windup, not a basketball play. Easy flagrant two ejection. So it was like, oh man, it's getting a little chippy. Then it got a little chippy a little while later, and then I was sweating the Cam Thomas more than 27.5 points and assists. Salute to Cam Thomas, who took 27 shots. My man is a black hole on offense.
Oh yeah.
It is outrageous.
Oh, no. He does not see anything but the rim. He does not care at all.
I think he finished with three assists last night. I couldn't tell you a single one of them. I don't remember him giving up the rock at all. Also, Ben Simmons, not good.
Oh,
Ben Simmons did not finish the game. Didn't close the game.
They started Dorian Finney-Smith at center?
The Kings should trade for Dorian Finney-Smith.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good player. I'm in on Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's starting at center, Nick Claxton, maybe that's why Nick Claxton went out there and got tossed.
It's also why Onyeka Okongwu looked like an all-NBA center last night.
Oh, yeah.
He was dominant. But I like the Hawks' collection of players.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Johnson, good player. Dyson Daniels, nice player. I think he had five steals last night. Onyeka Okongwu was awesome under the basket. Trey Young, obviously, running the show.
28-8 for Okongwu.
Yeah.
You're like,
he was,
whoa.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
On what, 10 of 11?
11 of 12.
11 of 12.
And,
but again, that's this is where grain of salt.
91.7% from the field.
Nick Claxton was Brooklyn's only center, and he got ejected. So we'll wait and see on the Hawks. I like some of their players.
He didn't start, though. Claxton came off the bench.
Yeah, but then he was ejected. They didn't have him at all.
Yeah, it's wild.
Really tough. Tough for our guy, Jordy Fernandez. Milwaukee, Philly. I watched 0 seconds of this game. 124-109 the final.
No.
I'm not interested in Philly until Embiid and Paul George are playing. One or the other. Or both.
Or the NBA gets done with their investigation. That's when I'm ready.
It's so funny that they're investigating if Joel Embiid is hurt. Like, yeah, hey, he is. I promise.
They're like, we're going to force you to play him 65 games and then watch him disintegrate in the playoffs again.
Dude, that's it. After watching Joel Embiid drag his ass up and down the court in the playoffs against the Knicks last year, if he's not on the floor, I promise he can't play. Like, Joel Embiid was a gangster in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, he was a warrior going out there.
Incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was hard to watch. I did not want to watch any more of it. Yeah. It's like watching Tua play quarterback. You're like, oh, no, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I understand why they're not playing him in game one of an 82-game season.
Yeah. Cleveland beat the heck out of Toronto. I did not watch any of this game, but the Raptors firmly on flag watch. Also, the Nets also on Cooper flag watch.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, they're the president of the Cooper flag watch party club.
Yeah, Toronto just not great.
Nope.
Garrett Temple played.
my guy, G Temp. I don't even know how old Garrett Temple is at this point.
37?
I'm going to look it up because
Mike
he fought his
age?
Way. He's been in the league 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and he had to fight his way into the league. He's 38 years old. Good job,
good for him,
Garrett
though.
Temple.
Collect those checks, baby.
One of my favorite dudes.
Really fun game in Houston. Charlotte beat the Rockets 110-105. This is a classic. This is a classic call me at Christmas game.
Mm.
I don't know if this means Charlotte is way better than I thought they were going to be or Houston's worse than I thought they were going to be. Well, but either way, I was surprised Charlotte went in and won that game.
I think everyone's on LaMelo watch. Like, everyone's like, oh, we forgot he's really good.
Yeah, he's so freaking good.
But wait for like 18 games and then he won't play again and you'll be frustrated.
I was talking about this with Kenny last night a little bit. I got a text back from Kenny, not to brag. And we were talking about LaMelo. It's like, dude, his feel and IQ, he makes everything look so effortless on an NBA court,
mm-hmm.
which not that many guys do. And the guys that do are like the elite of the elite, right? But is he ever going to be able to harness his skill set to be that elite, elite guy?
Yeah, can he be a winner? That's a question.
Yeah, I don't... I have no idea.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
There's a chance that LaMelo is one of the like eight best guys in the league at some point.
Maybe. But I have a tough time.
If he hits his ceiling,
yeah.
Then that's what that is to me what his ceiling is. But like, dude, is he ever gonna reach it? I wouldn't bet on it.
No.
Like based on what we've seen injury wise, based on what we've seen with some of the off the court stuff, I just don't know if he wants to be that dude.
Yeah, I also just the way that he got to the league, the way that, you know, he ended up playing in Poland or
no, it was Australia.
No, before that.
Oh, he started, yeah.
Or
yeah,
Lithuania
yeah.
or
yeah, some
yeah, or the Ukraine.
Other country.
Yeah, he well, I mean his dad just like I hate the whole situation there. But the fact is, man, he played 22 games last year, he played 36 a year before that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he can't stay healthy at all is a major, major problem. He's exciting to watch, but he's got to play.
Excellent player, though.
Yeah.
I think we saw it last night. I'm trying to find where he went and played in 2018. That was in, Lithuania.
Okay.
Yeah. Good knowledge by you.
Absolutely bizarre.
Orlando, Miami is our next game up. Orlando 116, Miami 97. Paolo Banchero, baby. The MVP campaign is underway.
Are the Heat bad?
That's what I tried to say yesterday.
You did try to say that yesterday, but like...
They're just not aesthetically pleasing to watch. I don't think they're very good at basketball.
It's talk about a collection, and that's usually how Eric Spoelstra rolls, but that's a weird collection of players.
If they can get you into a rock fight, you're going to have a hard time beating Miami.
Yeah.
But if you can keep the game from becoming a rock fight, I don't think they have any answers. Who scares you on Miami?
No one.
Bam Adebayo, really, really fine player. Yep. Love Bam. But it's like Tyler Hero?
No.
No?
I mean, I really like Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez, fine. On the Kings, De'Aaron Fox scares you.
Yes.
De'Aaron Fox is like, hey, what are we doing to stop that guy?
I mean, I think Jimmy Butler scared people for a long time, but does
Terry
he still?
Rozier?
No.
Jimmy Butler's 1 of 8 last night.
Yeah. Him and Bam, but neither one were very good.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's an awesome player. He's going to go down. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, all-time playoff guy. But on a night-in, night-out basis, Jimmy Butler offensively doesn't scare me that much.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, Paolo Banchero was awesome.
That's going to be a good team.
Yeah, man. 33-11-3 with a steal and a block. Paolo last night, 12 of 24 from the field, 4 of 8 from three.
And they did that with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going for a goose egg, 0 of 5 from three, 0 of 5 overall, 3 points in his Magic debut.
Yeah, but Franz Wagner too, 10 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. Yeah, Orlando might be really, really good. Other games last night, New Orleans beat Chicago in a game that I forgot happened. DeJounte Murray fractured his hand though.
Yeah, it's not great.
Man, New Orleans in a bad way. Zion didn't play. DeJounte Murray already hurt. B.I. had 33, though.
They won.
Yeah, they won. They beat a bad Bulls team.
Yep.
The Bulls on flag watch, by the way.
Yeah, they're
fully on flag watch. We talked about this yesterday. I had New Orleans falling out of the playoff picture, and yesterday didn't do anything to dispel me of that.
Mm. Yeah, probably not. DeJounte Murray is probably, 6 to 8 weeks?
I have no idea.
We don't have a date yet, but
no.
Broken hand, they said he's going to be out long term.
Memphis beat Utah 126-104, and then Phoenix and the Clippers 116-103, an OT finish. James Harden, vintage, 29-8-12 for James Harden.
Zach Edey fouled out in 15 minutes of play.
Vintage my ass. Tell the whole story.
Yeah, 29-8-12, and then fumbled away the last possession.
Yeah, 29 points on 28 shots.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Yeah, if that's the Clippers' future, the Clippers are in trouble.
They are.
29 points on 28 shots. That ain't it.
Yeah, that's why we had the Clippers out of there, man. They're not, like, James Harden's got to be that dude. No.
Yeah,
No.
That ain't it.
Not in 2024.
That ain't it.
Alas, we wanted to roll through the NBA games last night, but the more important thing for us today.
We can keep rolling through them. Let's go.
No, we were done.
I think we were done.
You have any Nets, Hawks thoughts?
No, that's not one I paid attention to.
I had a Prize Picks on Cam Thomas, so I was dialed.
Prize Picks. Hey, if beat you want my ass if you yesterday.
Want, I need Harrison Barnes to have less than 2.5 rebounds tonight.
Bro, I keep seeing that there, and I'm like, I'm not touching this. I'm not pausing.
Less
I'm not
than?
Doing anything with it. That's his number.
Less than 2.5 rebounds.
More or less than 2.5 rebounds, and I refuse
I went
to
less.
Play it.
I
refuse
I went
to freaking
I get a
play
four,
it.
I get a 4 out of 5. I always do a flex play. I get a 4 out of 5 if Harrison Barnes does less than 2.5 rebounds.
Did you remember that Harrison Barnes liked to make an impact early in a season?
Might be in the point category.
Mm,
rather than the rebound category.
Is Wemby's going to be
because I think Wemby was
a,
more or less 11.
Ooh.
I think that was his number. And it's like, all right, I'm staying away from him.
Harrison Barnes, opening night last year, 33 points, 4 rebounds for the Sacramento Kings. 11 of 16 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3.
Mm. All right.
Wow.
Let's get to the more important game. This evening, Kings, Timberwolves, Golden 1 Center. What is the biggest question the Kings you're looking for the Kings to answer this season? Like, what's the biggest question that their playoff hopes hinge on?
The tonight or the entire season?
The entire season.
Whether their offense can return to the standard it was the year before.
Yeah.
We could talk about the defense last year and you know all of that different stuff. The reason that they finished two games worse was because of the offense. You know, there are a few exceptions to that. James is always very good at pointing to the Charlottes and the Washingtons and all of those games that the Kings, you know, kind of blew where they were lackadaisical or just got their ass kicked by a team that came out to play better than they did that day. But they also have I always forget the number. I think it was 143-142 loss to the Bucks in Milwaukee, where if you just hit a couple of free throws in the fourth quarter, if you make it a 145, you won that game, and Dame Lillard gets a chance at the buzzer to lose by one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shot winds up meaning nothing. And so, like, there are moments last year where their offense was really good and they still lost games. But overall, their offense was clunky. Mm-hmm. And that's where I always push back on the Malik Monk thing at the end of the season. No doubt Malik Monk's loss was extremely impactful, but this whole idea of, oh, if Malik had just been there, like, oh, Malik was there. Kevin was there. Like, guys were there, and their season was just so – they never found their footing. And I think a lot of that was because of what was happening on the offensive end. Can their offense return to what it was back in the first year of the Beam Team when the playoff drought was broken and they solidified that playoff spot? Because if they do, I think that team is absolutely 100% a playoff team and potentially a top four team again.
Yeah,
I think the 50 wins that people are talking about.
51 for me.
There you go.
I think maybe the most important thing is that I want to see them find an identity, and it's probably on the offensive end. But whatever it's going to be, I felt like last season we waited. Like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And the year before, it was a great offensive team, but it was also this resilient team that never lost 3 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We just kept waiting for who are you, this identity moment, and I would love for that identity moment to happen early, and then you're like, oh, so this is who you are, and everyone's got to beat you this way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're really good at this, they've got to figure out a way to beat you doing that. And if they can't find that, I feel like it can be a very similar season to last year.
Yeah, I'm right there.
And,
I need
yeah,
to, go, I need to start fast,
thing.
Dude.
They can't be lost.
That's it.
Yeah, they can't be lost.
That's it. That's what, like, all the preseason stuff, like, obviously doesn't matter now, right? There's not going to be a single person in the building tonight that's like, oh, I don't know, they were 0-5 in the preseason, right? Like, that all doesn't matter. But if you come out and start slow tonight, it's like,
so what that
the hell?
More than what that 0-5 created, like, uncertainty.
Yeah.
Like, if you were, like, a little anxious, you know, coming into the season, you know, with the addition of DeMar, you were really wondering, like, what exactly is this team going to be? The preseason didn't help.
No.
And you really have to remind yourself, Trey Lyles is an important component to what the Sacramento Kings are doing. He was not there. Mm-hmm. Whether you like him or not, Kevin Huerter is an important component to what the Sacramento Kings do. He was not there. So, you know, there's a lot of things that went into that preseason. And, you know, we could discuss what type of plays they were running, whether they were running. And we could discuss all of that stuff to death. But in the end, all it did was create a little bit of anxiety that was probably already there. It just raised it a little bit. And a slow start or a bad start or a bad game tonight, Kings fans will absolutely feel a little off about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if it was a little bit slow to start. Like they're still trying to, because there's just a lot of like, I mean, like to start tonight.
Yeah, the only reason also they started out great against the Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. You already did it. Right. Do it again. Yeah. Like you already did that.
This is a much better defensive
team. This is a very, very different matchup. Yeah. It's a very, very different matchup. But it's not like you've never played Julius Randle before. You've played Julius Randle somewhere else. Julius Randle's beat your ass before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, we got to figure this guy out. No, we know he kicks our ass. Let's make sure we're defending this properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Ant-Man can do? You know they're coming in with a little bit of extra motivation because they're a team that people are super high on, and they lost their first game. They don't want to start the season 0-2. But the fact is, they're on the road tonight. You're Sacramento. You're the team at home. Take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, did Julius Randle drop like 45 on the Kings? Did he drop 50 on the Kings? He dropped a huge number on the Kings one night.
Well, I remember he was kicking their ass, and then I think he got thrown out. I don't remember if that game was two years ago. I think it was the one maybe at the Garden. But I think he was killing the Kings, and then he just got tossed. It was like, eh, screw it. I'm out.
I'm out.
Oh.
He scored 40, 46 in a... Yeah, he scored.
What year was that?
It was March 7, 2022 for the Knicks, 131-115 over the Kings.
Mm.
He scored
in New York?
I don't think so.
Oh, jeez.
No, it was in Sacramento.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
46, he 8 of 16 from 3.
Wow. I don't think he's probably going to do that tonight.
I don't think so.
You guys going to talk some Kings today on Eagle and KC?
No, it wasn't the plan.
A lot of Bulls.
A lot of Bulls talk. Okay. Probably some LaMelo talk. He had a nice nice old run yesterday.
Yeah, he did. For sure.
There was actually obviously a ton of Kings talk.
Brandon Pajemski at +34 without scoring a point.
For real?
That's a thing that happened.
He, you know who I liked yesterday because I asked some questions about him was Cade Cunningham. I thought Cade Cunningham had a great game yesterday.
Our Pistons?
Our Pistons.
Come on!
Our Pistons.
Yes!
I was a little uncertain about him, so I'm excited to watch him. I wanted to watch the Pistons last year, and I said yesterday I got bored 7 minutes in. I was like, I can't do this. But
looked
yeah,
more like an adult team yesterday. It was
they
great.
Did. Yeah. No, they did. That's a shoot. They actually did.
Yeah. All right. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to break it all down to 10 a.m. on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.